Welcome back to the Right Read Podcast. I am Isaiah. You can find me on Twitter at user GU Supremacy.
I get to say this. I'm going first this time.
Oh,
the real Will. The real Will. DeAndre, you can find me on Twitter at Willums, W-I, shout out R-M, L-L-L-U-M-Z.
I'm Usad. You can find me at Usad NBA.
I guess I'm fake Will today. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, at Bias Houston.
Today, we're going to be discussing the aftermath of the Luka AD trade in light of the recent Nico Harrison fire.
Why? What happened?
Girl dad. Oh, yeah. They said they bullied him into being a dad. I saw that.
Yeah, you're really funny, bro. But yeah, Nico Harrison, if you don't know, probably the most infamous general manager of the last, I'd say, 10 years now at this point. Was recently fired by the Dallas Mavericks, and I would say a shock move after you commit.
Whoa. Breaking news in real time. Oh. Bradley Beal is done for the season.
Wow.
Done
what?
For the year.
Done for the year.
Yes. Hip fracture. Done for
Whoa.
The season.
Whoa.
Yeah, Angela, y'all get some breaking right read news. That's crazy. Angela, now we have to talk about the week. We'll circle back to that.
Oh, man. The Clippers are. Your hate watch is going great. Oh my God, they're done.
Yeah, nice. Nah,
They were.
I mean, they was done
kinda,
regardless.
Yeah, they look kind of dead in the water.
Yeah, free hard.
But. I mean, was he helping? All right, we'll get to that.
I mean, no, we can speak on it now.
We'll circle back to them.
Is
this addition by subtraction?
Yeah, I think it might be. I was going to make that argument when we came back to it.
I mean,
what is Beal done?
Okay, the addition. Who is being added? Like, who's getting? Because I think Bojan is already added.
Beal.
Oh, he's on a vet minimum, so like even if they get the injury restriction, they'd just be breaking.
No, I thought he signed like a what was it, like 12.
Was it more than?
Yeah.
Oh, so I mean,
he signed a real contract, if I'm not mistaken.
So they can get some money back if they do.
That's what I'm saying,
because I'm pretty sure they would qualify for an injury.
Disabled player exception.
What is it, like half? It's 50%.
It's 50% of what you're making.
Yeah. So they get what?
Oh my God.
$6 million.
Would you like to guess who the worst pick and roll player in basketball was?
Is it Bradley Beal?
Bradley Beal. That's what I'm saying. Like he's been ass.
It was that game. I think it was the Suns game.
Oh, he was out there by himself.
Dude.
Oh my God,
bro! Did y'all see?
My God, he was their best player
when Bradley Beal's on the court, the Clippers have statistically the worst defense in the NBA.
Oh,
and when he's off the court, they're like almost top 10.
Would you like to guess who the worst ISO player in basketball is?
Is that also Bradley Beal?
Yeah,
I was gonna say,
fun fact, he has not scored in isolation this year.
He's possessions,
total 12.
He's averaging 8 points per game, not a full rebound, not even two full assists. 20 minutes per game on 38, 37, 75 splits for a, I'm gonna round up here, 48 true shooting. So
yeah, bro.
He's been bad, man. He's been bad.
I don't think this hurts the Clippers that much, man. Like, no. I'm just gonna be so honest. Like,
I mean, I don't know if they explicitly had this in plan when they traded Norman Powell, but I do remember part of like the Norman Powell
he was
thing
supposed
was
to replace him.
Is Bradley Beal's gonna replace Norman Powell, and
yeah,
has not looked that way at all, and now he's not even there at all. And honestly, truth be told, bro, this is one of the reasons why I didn't have too much faith in the Clippers being that good. They're old, man. They're going to get hurt. Now, obviously, no one thought that Bill was going to be done for the season. But this is a guy who historically was not healthy in Phoenix going to the Clippers and was magically going to be healthy enough for a playoff run. Like, I didn't buy it.
That team is embarrassingly hard and reliant.
Oh yes.
It's so sad.
He is the only reason that team – I mean, they're going to give OKC a top 10 pick, it looks like.
Yeah.
But they are the only reason why OKC isn't getting a top 3 pick.
Yep.
He's the only reason why.
I will say on some good news, I guess, for the Clippers. Cam Christie has been really good for them this year, and I think this kind of forces him to get more minutes. It's not going to make an impact in terms of their win-loss, like what their season outcome looks like. But I always like when this happens to teams because I think you get to see some of the younger guys, some of the prove-it guys get a chance. They got Cam Christie, Kobe Brown. I don't think his option got picked up, so he's got a chance now. He's going to get more minutes. But yeah, I mean, that's just it's the unction, man. The unction going to unction, and it's – that's actually insane. Fractured hip. I'm not gonna lie. I don't know if y'all have ever had a hip injury.
He might be
like
undone.
Yeah, like
he's already on that wrong side of 30.
Yeah, so. He was a guy that really relied on like a lot of hip swivels, a lot of dead leg stuff. Like that was kind of his ISO bag. He wasn't. He's not generating blow bys anymore. He tried to get his wiggle off. That's what his game was.
Yeah, he's averaging 8 points on 48.
Yeah, he really wouldn't get anything off now. Like
getting his game off.
Yeah, like but it's super over now. Genuinely, Kawhi is still load managing. Brooke Lopez.
Don't get me
Brooke
started.
Lopez. Zubac looks. He's been.
Hey, shout out to Miles for giving me Zubac in fantasy.
He's been better the last couple games, but he started off the season really weird. It was I don't understand why he lost weight. Like,
yeah, that was a bizarre
decision. A lot of weight, and I think he's going to put it back as the season goes on, and he'll look closer to what Zubac was last year. But that's just a really weird team. And I'm going to be honest, I like Ty Lue as a coach. He just looks like he doesn't know what to do with this.
He's in the hot seat right now, Lynch.
Yeah, he should be. He doesn't.
Yeah, they had a meeting apparently with like the owner and the manager.
I'm gonna be real though. What is he supposed to do with this roster game?
No bullshit. I'd pick him up.
When Kawhi Leonard is taking off every other game, and then outside of James Harden, there's no real talent on the roster. Like, what is Ty Lue supposed to do?
I mean, Zubac is good, but Zubac is, I think, like in terms of floor raising, he's a limited player. Like, he's not a. His archetype, the guy he like, he's not gonna be floor raising a team.
Yeah, he'll help you defensively, but offensively, like he needs capable players.
Would you guys like to play a quick little game?
What's up?
Let's do it.
In what year did James Harden have more ISOs through the first 10 games? Or they played seven, I want to say. First 10 games of a season.
Was it 2019?
His MVP season or this year?
Oh, is this
year?
It's this year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They don't have a secondary ball handler, dude. His pick and roll and ISO volume is insane this year.
That's so nasty.
And he's like one-man army carrying that roster right now.
He already has 152 pick and roll possessions.
Mind you, he's missed games. He's missed games.
Yep.
Because he missed games for the birth of his kid. If I'm not mistaken, he's played seven games.
Yep.
So he's averaging 20 pick and rolls a game, pretty much. Jeez. Actually, a lot. It's like 22.
Yeah, like 22 pick and rolls and like 10 ISOs.
They run 31 pick and rolls. He runs 17 of those. They run 15 ISOs. He gets 10 of those. So
yeah, mind
is,
you, once again,
like 30%.
These stats are also skewed by the fact that he's missed three games.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's a higher volume when he actually plays.
Dude, 27 self-creation essentially.
Yeah.
Possessions a game.
Bro, and he's 36.
36.
He's 36, bro.
And the nastiest part is elite at both.
Well, so yeah, he's doing it. He's hoping.
He's still really good at this.
Yeah, for
his
how,
age.
It's November. Like,
oh yeah, no,
yeah,
he's
like,
36.
He's
gonna tell off,
bro. I love my goat, man, but like,
he's gonna tell off.
He's not supposed to.
We're all Rockets fans. Even in his MVP years, he would have those cold stretches.
Yeah, he had like a month where he's terrible.
He'd have those months where he's terrible. Man, as he's gotten older, it's gone from a month, it's gone to 2 months. Like, those stretches are getting longer and longer. It's November, bro. With this usage, this is not lasting.
You're not making it.
Can I get off that at this pace, James Harden's a better Clipper all time than Kawhi Leonard?
Yes.
She might be right now. I ain't gonna lie.
Because I think he's done more for them than Kawhi has, dude.
If he wins a playoff series, because Kawhi didn't win a playoff series.
Kawhi also
they already haven't won a playoff series.
They haven't won a playoff series yet.
No, they
like,
went to the conference
finals. But
no,
he was hurt,
since Harden's been there.
No, no.
Oh, since Harden's been there.
Yeah,
since Harden's since they've been together, they haven't won.
Yeah, they ran.
I'm saying Kawhi went to the conference finals at least.
Yeah,
thought he was hurt for that run.
He got hurt.
He got hurt in the second round.
Okay.
You got hurt in game four against Utah.
Sorry. Second round.
I don't think he played
in
the conference.
Oh, you got hurt game four.
Well, he won a series. Because
remember, it was Paul George and Terrence Mann who. All right.
But he still won a series.
Regardless, man. I mean.
Whatever. Man, Harden keeps trying to escape being a primary, bro. And everywhere he goes.
Nah, I ain't gonna lie. He did this one to himself. He did this one to himself. No one told him to go to the Clippers.
It really seems like that's been his plan, though. Like, let me ease off of, like, because he's such a good passer. Like, he's really a point guard. But he always gets thrust into being like, well, you are James Harden, so can you do the James Harden thing?
Should have stayed in Philly.
He should have stayed in Philly.
Yeah.
Or if you want to leave Philly, just don't go to the Clippers.
I mean, to be fair, those were the two options.
Yeah. Dang, I would have tried my hardest.
Unless
he's
about to go to, like, the Lakers or something.
Man, shoot, I would have went there first.
Say, at some point, you would have had to think about taking a – and funny, not to make this about the Fred versus James Harden situation, but I remember the big talking point was nobody wanted to give Harden, at least in the fan base, that four-year max. And then you see the last couple places he's gone, he's taking pay cuts.
Yeah.
Like, if he would have been willing to take a pay cut back then, I guarantee he'd be on the Rockets right now.
Yeah, he would.
Like, I promise you. If he would have took...
Even now, he's making 40?
Yeah. Like, if he would have took the Fred deal, a 2+1, he'd be a Rocket. He'd be a Rocket. I guarantee he'd be a Rocket right now.
Yeah.
But...
I'm gonna ask, my life. No BS. He would be in Philly right now if he was cool taking less.
Yeah.
Like... His whole reason for getting out of Philly is,
I mean, he'd be
screwed. Daryl Morey is a liar. He did not pay me the 4-year max. He probably
I mean, I think that's because they had like the under the table deal after he took the first pay cut and then he went back on
and
that.
He went back on it.
Yeah, come on, bro.
It would be better because he would have Maxey next to him, but they probably don't get VJ Edgecombe if Harden's there.
No, I mean, I ain't gonna lie. They don't care about VJ Edgecombe with Harden there.
I mean, but gang, you're not winning nothing anyways. No, boy. I'd rather
Harden, Maxey, and Embiid.
Embiid. Let's keep it a bean. He's not playing basketball.
I mean, but you can like you can stand the load management beat more if you have hard
game load managing that version gang, of it. 2023 him is
he has right knee soreness.
No, I'm saying like if they kept hard. So we're talking about
injury in low management.
We're talking about MB back then.
No, I'm talking about MB like from like last season, bro.
Yeah, but I think I don't think his body breaks down as much if he has.
Dang, it's over for that young man.
If he has like Harden, because then at that point they probably low manage him and Harden.
Nah, he's GGs. It's GGs for that young man. His career is a.
Oh no, he's
yeah, it's done.
Fried,
it's
man, done.
All right, on to
that was the impromptu clip. More successful team.
They've been to a finals.
I guess, yeah.
Do they have the same record right now? No funny?
They might.
I think the Clippers and the Mavericks have the exact same record.
Right?
Yeah.
3-7, I want to say, for both of them. I know the Clippers are 3-7. Clippers have not won a road game.
No, the Clippers are 3-7, Mavericks are 3-8. So.
Okay, fair.
Do the Clippers play today?
Probably.
Yeah.
Let's see.
We'll see. By the time
we're releasing,
maybe different. But before we were so rudely interrupted by Bradley Beal. Before we were so rudely interrupted by Bradley Beal's injury, the Dallas Mavericks decided to make a shock move to some people, maybe not a shock to others. Nico Harrison, their GM of the last five, six seasons at this point, was fired. Obviously, Nico Harrison is the guy that made the infamous Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis trade, which we christened at a Chili's. that trade, that firing has now gone down. They are moving on to a new general manager search. I saw that Dirk Nowitzki is the odds-on favorite right now.
Really?
That's a hilarious. I'm not gonna lie.
I think that was like hilarious. A troll. A little.
That's
yeah,
so funny.
It gotta be.
I don't know if I'd want that job.
But yeah, Will, I heard you had a little a little project.
I wanted to for everybody at home who was unaware of just how we got here. I pulled up. Shout out to Yahoo Sports. The timeline from May 30th, which is the Mavericks going to the 2024 Finals, because I think part of what's missed in the story talking about Nico Harrison is that up until the Luka Doncic trade, he actually was doing a really good job taking a Dallas Mavericks roster that had up until that point done a poor job putting the right talent around Luka Doncic. He got Kyrie Irving. He went out there and got P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford. These are guys
who... The Lively and Gafford center rotation was so good with Luka.
The Dante Exum pickup was super underrated for them. And like the conglomerate of all those moves was Luka advanced to his very first NBA Finals in 2024. And then he got hurt on Christmas that day, February 2nd. They trade Luka Doncic to the Lakers for Anthony Davis in a trade that we're going to talk about on this podcast, but obviously shocked the entire world. It made no sense at the time, makes even less sense now. The next on February 4th, Luka is introduced as a Laker. February 8th, Mavericks fans are protesting outside the arena, which I think is kind of how we got. I saw, I think it was Sam Vecenie said this, basically about how protesting in the NBA works, and this is evidence of it.
No, the owners literally said that they thought playing on the road was easier than
the play should have
home because Fire Nico chants were so loud at home.
I'll say Cooper Flagg's mom came out and said it as well. Like it was ridiculous. But the irony of it is the same day that fans protest outside of the Mavericks arena, it is also the same day that Anthony Davis made his debut against the Houston Rockets for the Dallas Mavericks. Yeah. And as we all know, we're Rockets.
Great
fans.
Debut, yeah.
He had a great debut. And so I was at halftime when he got hurt.
He got hurt
he
again.
Had a great half. I ain't going to lie.
Yeah, man. I mean, who would have known?
For like 15 minutes, Nico was right.
Yeah.
15 minutes, man. I think there's a shot where like they pan to him in the crowd and he's got this like smug grin on his face. Because, bro, for that first 15, we were watching.
Oh, I'm looking at the stats. 26 points, 16 rebounds, and 7 assists, 3 blocks, and only 31.
If I'm not mistaken,
he was a monster, and then he got hurt
at halftime. Like, I'm pretty
he was killing us.
Funny enough, was that the game?
That's the game we win.
We had to go double big.
Yeah,
because
we started double big.
Our
infamous double big went. Because
I want to say that's the first time we played double big.
That was the first time we actually did it. What's so funny,
Nico?
Yeah, and what's really funny is about. With Anthony Davis specifically, a lot of people are like, oh, like Nico's vision didn't come true because he got hurt. But it's like, at the same time, bro, it's Anthony Davis.
Who was going to get hurt.
At a certain point, I cannot free you from like injury, like, you know, caveats. If you're trading for a guy whose like nickname is literally day-to-day Davis. Like, he's always hurt.
Name, by the way.
They call him Street Clothes.
Yeah, they call him Street Clothes. Like, it's
one
a
of these
running
days,
joke.
We gotta have a pod where we like rank slender names.
That's a great
Street
idea.
A great idea.
Street Clothes
is Street Clothes up there.
I guess Bradley Beal PTO is really hitting hard now.
That's also up there.
Jesus.
Hey, shout out Peanut Butter, man.
I will say, looking at the Dallas Mavericks now, they were blessed with the good fortune of getting Cooper.
Oh, sorry, I was going to get to that. So March 4th is when they lose Kyrie Irving for the rest of the season with an ACL injury.
That was rough.
Which, not to...
Again, not giving him credit for... He's still getting blamed for this because prior to Kyrie getting hurt, he was averaging 40 minutes a game, which was the highest for his career.
Also, like, was anybody shocked that another infamously injury-prone player got hurt? Like,
when you dump 40 minutes a game on him, I don't know, like, man. And trade away the guy that was taking away his
I think building your roster around 2 30-year-olds who have a history for being injured is not the smartest idea, but whatever. Luka returns to Dallas, dominates 31 points on April 9th. But then, so obviously that season from hell for the Mavericks and their fan base, but it was a little bit of light in the tunnel because on May 12th, they won the lottery. And then they drafted Cooper Flagg on June 26th that year, signed D'Angelo Russell this offseason. They lost the season opener October 22nd. And then 7 days later, October 29th, Anthony Davis gets injured again. And this time it's a bit serious. He had some, Achilles soreness. Yeah. And then he came out with an Achilles injury. So
isn't it the same day that the home sellout streak also got broken?
Their 24 year home sellout streak.
Yeah, that's how you know it's fried.
I was going to say it got fried because then November 10th, Mavericks lose to the Bucks, and that was the infamous game where the Fire Nico chance really took place. And then I don't know if it I don't think it was this game, but there and it's not on this recap, but there was a game where Patrick Dumont sat courtside disgruntled Mavericks fan, maybe Lakers fan, I don't know, but he had a Luka Lakers jersey on. And was pretty much like, we made a mistake. we messed up.
Hey, like, your owner said, crazy, bro.
Very next day, November 11th, the Mavericks fired Nico Harrison. And that is where we are today.
Yeah. And honestly, I think the firing of Nico Harrison, just from an organizational standpoint, is somehow worse to me than if they just stuck it out. Because
way worse.
Because firing him is like less than a year after the trade went down. It's really like an admission of like, we screwed up so badly. There's no like.
They need to give it a chance to see.
Yeah, like that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think it would have worked. But like Kyrie, AD, Clay, and this roster never even played together. And the fact that you fired the guy before they even played together really means you had no faith that thing was going to work. Which is like, then why did this?
Why'd you do it in the first place?
Yeah.
I would say like in what I was going to say earlier, they got the ultimate bailout. Like, genuinely, the ultimate, like, a GM is now going to be able to go in and just say, my job's easy. I'm going to do what you were supposed to do with Luka long term. Just build around the generational prospect that you have. Nurture him as well as you can. Help him develop to the player he can be. And go from there. Yeah. Like, a GM's going to walk in with Cooper Flagg, and I'm going to be honest, they don't have their 28 pick.
Or the 29.
Or the 29 pick. So, like, you've got a two-year window to acquire talent for real. And they're going to be bad this year. They're going to be bad. And there's a chance that they end up with a top seven pick and knowing the NBA lottery, good lord, there's a chance they end up with a blue chip prospect, a legitimate blue chip prospect. So, like, a GM is gonna walk into a very, very nice job.
I was gonna say
you said earlier that like no GM would want this job.
I'd love.
I'm with Dre here.
I'd love.
It's a really good job.
I wouldn't want it if I was Dirk. That's too bad.
I think that was like a troll. Like
as a troll,
it was some troll stuff.
But like as a new GM, this is not. I mean, if you want to be analogous,
you got a blue chip prospect.
Yeah, if you want to be analogous here, coming into a situation where you have a 2 year window to acquire, 2 to 3 year window to acquire assets. And then after that, you have your picks given to another team. You have aging stars in your team. I mean, that's exactly what Rafael Stone walked into with the Rockets. And it's doable.
Like, they look like you have more tradable players than we do.
Honestly,
you got to find a way to flip.
Because like PJ is tradable.
And they're also starting tradable. With Cooper Flagg.
I was also going to say, I want to push back on one thing you said about them being bad. They're bad right now because they're injured. Maybe they stay injured. But I think this roster is not the worst team. I think they are. They're going to be. They're not going to make the playoffs. They're probably going to even make the play in, obviously. But I don't think they're the worst team in the league. So maybe they get some lottery luck again and then jump up. But in terms of like bottoming out to increase your odds of getting AJ DeBosta or Darren Peterson, I don't think they're going to. I think they're not that bad.
I think Nico being fired is an indication that that's what they're going to
do. I mean, you got to fire so to do that.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, they're going
to
trade AD.
I think more than AD. I think you got to get rid of PJ. You got to get rid of Gafford.
I think you keep PJ.
I think they can still be bad.
I don't think they're in the West.
So, like, they're not going to make the plan, which if you're not making the plan in the West, that automatically puts you at like top 8 odds. And they're probably. even farther than not making a plan, there's like 12 teams that are actually trying to. So they might finish like 13th in the conference.
Yeah.
And if that happens, we're talking about like top 7 odds.
You just you gotta get top 6 odds. Davis off your
roster. Oh yeah, oh, yeah. Davis first, and then that's first order of business, man.
Yeah, AD gotta go, bro. And honestly,
you gotta go.
You can pivot to this right now.
Say, do you want
to
pivot to like
that contract is out?
Where does AD go?
Okay,
I don't know. I ain't gonna watch.
I can pull up. We can talk about it. I put up.
We discussed this. I have a team that I think.
I think there's a couple teams that. Sense. But I will say they're probably regardless. There are teams out there I think that would register interest in Anthony Davis. Those teams are probably not going to be offering much in return for him because the first hurdle you have to get over is Anthony Davis is making, I want to say, close to $50 million.
Oh yeah, I have. So I have the info on this.
Yeah, go ahead.
So in 2023, he signed a 3-for-$175 extension. That kicked in this season.
It's a player option that last year, right?
So there's a player option in 2027. So he's in the first year of the deal this year. He'll be on the second year next year, and then he'll have a player option in 2027, which he's probably going to pick
up. So he's essentially on a 2+1.
And right you now. Said it was 3 years, 175?
Yes.
So, yes.
So he's making like $55 million.
Jesus, he's pushing 60. Yeah. So, the conundrum is you have to find a team that has that much salary they're willing to part ways with, which – spoiler alert, good teams who have players making $60 million or that combined salary $60 million probably don't want to trade those guys. And then the second conundrum is, like, bad teams probably have no reason to trade any real assets for Anthony Davis because he's not going to – like, you're trying to – if you're the Wizards, you want to be bad. You don't want Anthony Davis taking away.
You probably trade them to a mid-team.
Yeah. So, there's a mid-team I'm thinking of.
There's a
mid-team I'm thinking of. There's a perfect team for
that. Yep. He hasn't pulled on the laptop. It's the Chicago
Bulls. Yeah, that's the thing I was thinking of.
Hometown team for Anthony Davis.
I'm not
going to have the salary to do it.
If I'm a Bulls fan, bro, I'm not going to. Worst case scenario. I don't want
to
do that.
I'm not going to lie. If you're a Bulls fan, you've been waiting for them to bottom out for the last 5 years.
They haven't done it.
They're not doing it. Right? At this point, in this East, you're the one seed right now. Oh, sorry, not the one seed. You're the what? 4 seed?
I'm glad, but no troll. Would you rather have AD or Vucevic?
Anthony Davis.
You can have both.
I'd still rather have AD.
Anthony Davis.
You can have both, though.
And on top, I was going to say, because
AD doesn't want to play the five anyway.
What Dre's going to illustrate, hopefully.
Vucevic on this expiring contract.
What Dre's going to illustrate, hopefully, is do you know how much, like, expiring salary the not the Mavericks.
They have a lot
of Bulls have? Yeah, they got a bunch.
They do.
Straight up, this trade works. They could do AD for Vuce, Patrick Williams, and Kobe White. Contract-wise, that works.
Why wouldn't you do that? Honestly, why wouldn't you?
Like,
do that?
You want to move off Kobe White to begin with.
I don't
with.
Want
Vuce is expiring.
Vuce is expiring. You aren't going to extend him anyways.
No, again, stop operating from the idea that the Chicago Bulls are going to be smart.
They're not blowing it up.
This thing, if they were going to tank, they'd be playing their top 10 pick right now.
Yep.
They're just not, gang. They're not. Like, they are going to try and be somewhat competitive. He's from the city. He's probably the best prospect from the city since Derrick Rose. He's probably the best player they've had in the city. I'm about to say, like, he's openly talked about wanting to go back home and play with them before.
And they're the right kind of mid and stupid to do it. But I was going to ask.
Also, I actually don't think he's a bad fit for them.
Not at all.
He's not.
Like, I think he's.
I mean, that contract is absurd.
He would have to commit to shooting three.
I mean, I'm glad the one half we saw before he got hurt, he took like three.
He also had to commit to playing super fast.
But I was going to ask you, do you think that the Mavericks can get a first round pick in that deal? Because
I'm not giving no
first round pick. I don't know, man.
This year, but I give up like.
I don't know, bro.
I don't know if I give up a first.
I've got a 26, I've got a 27 already. I get wanting to have
I would
a
get like a 20, class,
but like
first.
I would take a 28, 29 because I just.
I'm giving up like two good players because I ain't going to Patrick Williams kind of.
I'm
giving up two good players.
Kobe's expiring.
I mean, that's still two good players for a player who
I'm also giving you
two good players. I got to pay.
I'm also giving you salary relief, which is the other thing. Like, I'm bailing you out.
I'm giving you Anthony Davis.
Yeah, you're getting AD.
I mean, I ain't gonna lie, man. That don't have no ring to it.
I mean, this is a guy who a year ago fetched.
That's because Nico Harris is
stupid. Any other team that would matter to the Chicago Bulls.
That brick is not authentic no more. Man.
If the Chicago, if I am whatever
it's
not, interim
it's
GM,
been stepped on like three times, bro. That shit yellow, bro. I ain't gonna lie.
If I'm whatever,
it's not white, bro.
Interim GM and the Bulls offer me that trade in like a 2028 first round pick. I'm driving Anthony Davis.
Oh,
to
I would do.
Myself.
If I'm the Mavericks,
I'm driving him there myself, bro.
I'll pay for his plane ticket.
I think of the teams that could do it, that have the cap to do it, to me, they're just like...
They make the most.
I think it's the perfect blend of like mid-team that probably thinks they're better than they are. Yeah. And
they have the means and the assets to do it. So
I think AD is less interesting than... What do you do with Kyrie? Because he's coming back in January, allegedly.
Well,
that's his timeline. But he himself is kind of...
I think if I'm the Mavericks, I would keep him, honestly.
You think you just keep Kyrie?
Yeah. They need a guard.
He might sit out the whole year.
Would you just
say? I was going to say, because if you're going to go right back to trying to be competitive next season, you'd probably want
Kyrie Irving on the team.
I'm not going to. Why would they go back to trying to be competitive?
Because they don't have their draft picks.
No, but they have a two-year window.
No. They have their draft pick. No, it's this year and that's it.
No, they have this year and 27. They don't have 28 and 29.
Yeah.
I thought they didn't have 27.
They have this year and next year.
I swear the Hornets got that pick.
There's probably
protections on it. Like if they tank, they'll get it. I'm pretty sure.
Really? Okay, that changes.
I'm gonna double check right now.
Yeah, they have a two year window. I'm pretty confident they have a 2 year window.
I thought I could have sworn they just have.
I know for a fact they have this one outright. But
I know they have this protected one. I don't think they have next year's pick.
Oh, funny enough, it is like the worst protection. Nico Harrison is stupid. It's the worst protection.
What's the protection?
It's a top two protected pick.
Oh, they might as well try to be good, bro. Like, yeah. You're not. Come on, man.
It's with the Hornets, right? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I didn't think they got that.
Just try to be good, bro.
No, funny. You might have to try for this, though. Because if the pick, it's one of those protections. If the pick doesn't convey, you don't give a first back up, you give a second up. You might have to try.
I mean, but you can be the worst team in the league and still not get it.
You can't.
Top two is tough.
What's your odds of top two if you're the worst team in the league? Like,
yeah, why 26%? Why wouldn't he make it top four?
Yeah, like top two is nasty. What was this trade?
It was probably PJ Washington trade.
Why would you a top two?
I mean, no. At the time, for...
Nah, Aaron,
no, that, make nah, it. Bro. We're not gonna rewrite history.
When we made the Russ Chris Paul trade, we made all of our picks top four.
I mean, I get that. But I ain't gonna lie, for PJ Washington next to Luka Doncic, that was a good trade.
You just make it top four protected though.
Gang, top two? No, I've never heard of a top two.
I'm sorry. We've gone through a rebuild. I understand how the draft laws work. Top two is a stupid protection. Because the odds of getting one and two are the same. They're both 12.5.
Yeah,
top four actually makes it. It's like 26%. Yeah, top four actually makes it like closer to 50.
Yeah,
if you're the worst team in the league.
Yeah,
it's the reason why top two is stupid. Yeah, it's the reason why teams now don't give you top five protection. Because if you do just make sure you're the worst team in the league, you're going
to
get that pick.
Yeah, it has to be four.
Like top four is like the middle round.
I'll be honest. If they change it from top two to top three, nothing changes mathematically.
Yeah.
The funny part too.
How stupid is that?
Is the Rockets were like the worst team in the league and only got number two once. Pistons were the worst team in the league, never got it.
They didn't get it. They got one in three times.
The worst team in the league never gets the number one pick.
Or number two.
Or number two.
Yeah. Or number three, low key.
We did.
Yeah, we got it when we got Jabari.
Oh yeah,
but
oh man,
yeah man. I guess so. Yeah, my point though is I'm not gonna say if a team offers me a real return for Kyrie Irving, you are gone, right? I'm not.
Fred and Reed, would you do it?
Yeah, we're not answering.
If Fred signs off, would you do it?
We ain't answering no questions. But I was gonna say, we ain't doing this.
Nah,
today,
man, come on, bro.
If he signs off,
we ain't doing this today, man. If a team offered me a real return, I'd move Kyrie.
Can I see Kyrie play first?
If I speak, I'm in big trouble.
Is he playing this season? That's first of all. Let's start there.
He probably shouldn't.
I'm not gonna lie. He's gonna get. He gonna get healthy quick.
Who I think should do? If I was Milwaukee, I'd make the phone call.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've seen.
I think you could buy low on Kyrie.
How do they make the money work?
Ryan Rollins makes nothing.
Yeah, the money would be the problem.
I don't want to flip Rollins.
No. I'm saying you don't flip Rollins. He makes nothing. You would flip like.
I think they nobody on their team make anything besides Portis and Miles Turner and Kuzma.
Kuzma and Portis.
Is that enough?
Yeah,
it probably had to be.
Probably that's probably like $40 million.
Yeah, no,
that works.
Kyrie's on a cheap deal, bro.
Yes,
Kyrie makes like 35.
I don't think Kyrie's
going to make Kyrie makes like really low. It's 3 for $118. So it's like 36 a year.
That's what I'm saying. I think Kyrie makes like less than.
What? It's.
Make less than Shingun, bro.
Yeah, it's right around. It's in that same ballpark.
They can do it. I'm not going to lie. You might be able to do Kuz straight up because Kuz is like, what, 30?
He's 20.
Nah, he's
22. No. It'd be Kuz and Portis, then.
I don't know, man.
I
wouldn't hate that. The only thing then is you're not going to have no front court depth.
Portis and
you have a bunch of guards.
What number does he wear for them now? 3? 7? Brian? Whatever?
I think he's 7 now. Seven. Oh, no. I think he went back to... I don't know.
I thought he was wearing 77.
He's some bum. I don't know.
Can we do Kuz and Brian? I'll do that for sure.
You could do Kuz and Brian.
I ain't lie. The problem is that they just have a ton of, like, men's... You'd have to get a third team involved in the trade.
Yeah.
But the structure of the trade would be surrounded by Kuz and Bobby Portis.
That could be fun.
I could be.
I think they're a team that I think should buy. Because he's coming off of an ACL injury at what, 31?
Yeah.
Like, he shouldn't cause that much. I would think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it.
He also fits with these
other teams.
I will say, they're also like the. respect to the Bucks. They built a really good roster. They don't know how to draft. They should not value their draft pick.
Yeah, they should not.
They are the worst drafting.
They're terrible.
For any other team, really they are the worst drafting team in basketball.
I would let you get that off if Giannis wasn't already a foot out the door. They are.
I think because they are a season.
No, but that adds to his point.
I'm gonna say because he's a foot out the door.
I care about draft picks because when Giannis leaves, I have to rebuild.
I'm not glad. You don't let Giannis leave.
Yeah, I'm
gonna
say you.
That's not up to you.
I will say also, bro, like, man, if the Bucks keep playing like this, you're not going nowhere.
Honestly, I ain't gonna lie. The Bucks are winning too many games for him to leave.
That sounds cool. Early in the season, come playoff time when them boys don't even get the first round.
Again, though, I think it's different playoff time if it's like, I'm going to have Kyrie next year.
That don't move me.
I think.
I think.
They don't got to move you. They got to move Giannis. I'm going to go ahead. Giannis was going to ask out last year. They talked to him. And they sold him on coming back for allegedly Miles Turner.
Man, I ain't gonna lie.
They can sell him on Kyrie Irving.
This is cool, bro. When that, because I think it's a matter of when, not if, Giannis asks out, and when he asks out, I need my pick so I can pivot.
I mean, they don't have their picks anyway, though.
Yeah,
if I'm not, I mean, thinking, they already
I need whatever I can get. I can't be offloading what little I have.
That's not how GMs operate.
Their picks are just wrapped in swaps right now. So.
Yeah, because I'll be honest, if you're a GM, you're trying to. Like, you're a GM with Giannis. Your goal is now. Your goal is...
Yeah, you don't care about 2030 or 2031.
As Nico Harris
says... I feel bad for Bucks, man.
Ownership isn't telling you prepare for life without Giannis. Yep. Ownership is telling you keep
him in the building.
I mean, that's cool. Once again, when he leaves, because it's not a matter of if, it's when. When he leaves, you're just...
At least you gave yourself
the best shot at keeping him.
I mean, yes, you gave yourself a best shot, and you increased your chances from missing the playoffs to losing in the second round best-case scenario.
I ain't gonna lie. This team right now is, like, good.
They are not going... They are not a one of the... They're not... They're not going to the first round. I'll tell you that right now.
Who in the East is beating them?
That's
right
what I'm
saying.
New York, Miami at this point.
Miami.
Are we confident in Detroit or Miami? Beating
Cleveland, yes. I'm confident Detroit gets them gone.
Are you confident?
Gets them gone.
I'm not 100%.
Yes. Detroit will
get
them gone.
That's a great pivot. Detroit. Because they had a phenomenal game this week, bro.
So the greatest. Like, attribute, I think, in basketball really just simply comes down to, like, just saying F it sometimes, right? Like, I think a lost art in basketball is being able to look to the guy in the corner and just say, like, you're not supposed to have the ball right now. Like, your job is to get pass fake to. Your job is to sit there, crash the glass, or, like, when I do pass you the ball, don't do anything else, just shoot it, right? What Cade Cunningham did the other night, to me, just exudes what James Naismith envisioned when he first put that peach basket up. And that is one guy going out there, dropping his nuts and saying, I'm better at this sport than all of you. Efficiency be damned. There wasn't no true shooting when James Naismith started this.
Man.
There wasn't no effective field goal percentage.
There was a box score.
No box score, no point for possession. It was who can get this little ball into that peach basket more times than the other guy can. And Kay Cunningham, you exuded that better than anybody I've ever seen. Statistically. Better than anybody in NBA history has.
Most missed shots in a single game in NBA history, and he won.
Well, since the merger.
Yeah, post-merger.
It's
some Wood Chamberlain games.
Oh, yeah. Since the merger.
Yeah.
Who was it? Dave Cowens, I think?
Yeah, what is his name? Guy Fawkes, bro.
Yes, he got 40
missed shots. I didn't even know who he was until yesterday, bro. He got like 4 or 5 different games for like 40 missed shots, dude. I ain't gonna lie. He might be the greatest shot chucker of all time, dude. I hit a little stat muse query, bro. I looked at like all the players who've ever missed 30 or more shots. Dude, he's like the whole top 5, bro. He's right. Like the entire top. It's him
Kobe, and Will
Chamberlain
going
band for band, bro. It's crazy. Hey, shout out Kane.
Joe Fawkes.
Yeah, Joe Fawkes. That's what his name is.
42 times.
Yes.
42, 38, 35, 34.
That's the best shot chucker ever.
He's like half of the top 10.
I'm telling you, gang. It's the best shot trigger ever game.
You know what's crazy? Yeah. He never had 40 in any of these games.
No. He's just missing.
37.
He's just missing.
You know what? You know who? But by the way, look up the list of most missed shots by NBA players since the merger. It's all Hall of Famers.
Yeah, it's all.
Like, people are, like, crapping on Cade for this. And yes, I agree. I'm not going to, like, we're semi-trolling.
Man, efficiency is for losers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's for losers.
It's not a great game, right? In terms of, like.
Did he win the game,
it's the best game.
Did he win the game, man?
No, but hear me out, right? I don't think it's concerning, though. People are like, oh, my God. He took 45 shots and only scored, like, 50 points. Bro, yes, he missed 31 shots. The list of players who have missed 31 shots. Cade Cunningham, Kobe Bryant, Russell Westbrook, Jerry Stackhouse, Michael Jordan. Ignore the next name.
Who the next team is, bro?
DeJounte Murray.
Oh, that's the Atlanta game. That's the Atlanta game, bro.
No, he was chucking that game.
Yeah, he shot like 44 times.
Yeah, James Harden. Stoudemire, bro. Like John Starks.
No troll. It's just like Kobe all over his list. I love my goat, but it's just Kobe all
like
over his list.
Majority Hall of Flamers and like really, really good players, yeah. MVP candidates. Where, like, and like that's I the think, footsteps K's walking.
I think a lot of people like don't understand, but them other four dudes are professionals too. They know you missed a lot of shots this game. Off of the 10th missed shot, they still looked at you and said, you're the better option than I am right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that means
it was
something.
Also a unique situation. People don't realize the Pistons were missing like multiple starters. They had G League guys in that lineup, dude. And it's like
G League and two-way guys.
G League and
Norris Jenkins, man.
Norris Jenkins.
Norris Jenkins. They were starting Javonte Green, Duncan Robinson.
Still in the league, man.
Like Chaz Lanier played, Bobby Clinton played.
Yeah,
like, it was just bad.
What is that team, bro? Like, yeah, like you know what? You can take 45 shots, Cade. Like, I'm
impressed that he did. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah,
like, I think that takes overall, like, obviously efficiency matters because it's what leads to like wins and losses.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
But sometimes, bro, like you do just gotta go like.
I'm gonna tell you right now though. 45 shots, 11 assists, 2 turnovers.
Yeah, yeah,
that's actually
a 45-point triple double with 2 turnovers.
That's actually
like that is impressive.
That's super
impressive. You had that much volume on the ball. You only turned the ball over twice.
Yeah. You like missed 31 shots.
That is
like,
efficiency.
Yeah.
That is also a part. I think that's the thing people get lost with efficiency. It's not just about makes or misses. It's also about other stuff, like turnover efficiency. Like, if you have the ball that much, because he did. He shot 45 times. He had the ball that much. Right? And that's not even including free throws either.
Yeah.
He had the ball a ton. You only turn the ball over twice the whole game. Like, that's huge. That's part of why they won.
Yep.
So
I do find it funny that the Pistons had someone on their team that missed 31 shots, and they won the rebounding battle.
I mean, yeah, 15. Of course they did.
Shout out Jalen Duren.
No, I'm saying, but like, if
somebody... I'll say, hold on. They missed. They won the rebounding battle.
I'm saying,
they missed 31 shots.
No, that's what I'm saying. If somebody misses 31 shots game, bro, like 20 of those got to be defensive rebounds. They out-rebounded the...
how many O-boards they have?
Yeah, they must have O-boarded them away.
28 offensive rebounds.
Yeah, no shit.
I wonder... I need somebody to come out with how many of those are K misses, bro.
All of them, probably. So he had 5 himself. He probably all of his own misses.
Then he got own miss over.
He had 5 himself O-boards.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. That's so real.
He's the greatest.
I take back what I said. That's a great game.
I can't let
football
on this
game.
Performance,
bro.
I'm sorry,
random CJ McCollum 42 piece.
No.
He's sold in the clutch, though.
He was hooping. If you watch the end of that game, he made 2 of the dumbest decisions I've ever seen.
He was trying to go viral, bro.
1, they're down by 2. Bro. They're down by 2. He catches the ball at the 3-point line, pump fakes, takes a sidestep for no reason. He's already open. Clanks it off the side of the backboard, right? Cool. Luckily, they go down. Pistons miss both free throws, okay? He gets the ball with 7 seconds left. Does not get a shot up before the clock goes off. Runs down the court dribbling, doing this, and the clock runs. And he's like, oh, shoot. I should shoot here. We're down by 2. Just horrible.
At Pablo Torre finds out.
Man, shout out. shout out to the Monday Hoops, man. That was an exceptional night of basketball,
man. We need more bad basketball. Like, I've said this, bro. We need more bad basketball. Like, I was watching the Kings-Nuggets game last night. And, like, Jokic is so good. It's kind of boring. Because, like, it's just early. I love it because I'm a basketball nerd. But it's, like, early Seal. Quick move, floater. Quick move,
just like methodically
quick move, drop step, layup.
He's shooting 75% from the field right now.
It's insane, dude. And it's like, it's so easy for him. And I'm like, there's no chaos in it. So it's just like, it's just beautiful basketball to watch. Bro, you turn on a Wizards game.
Oh.
Turn on a Jazz game. Something don't happen.
No.
But the Jazz are entertaining.
The Jazz Pacers game, the Jazz scored 156 points.
Breaks off
in
156 to 128. That's
regulation.
That's nuts.
So I'm saying, bro, like you need crash out basketball sometimes. I need dummy basketball, bro.
On Jokic though, is that your MVP right now?
No.
Who's your MVP?
The MVP of basketball is the guy that's averaging like 39, 10, and 11 right now. It's the guy playing in LA.
Luka? Oh man, it's Luka, yeah, Luka Truther, man.
Yeah?
It is Luka.
I'm feeling pretty good about my preseason.
Yeah, so I want to. I'll transition to that because I have the nerd numbers. We just using regular PRA for this one. So of the guys, I think we all individually had one of these guys listed as MVP, if I'm not mistaken. SGA currently is averaging 33-6-5 on 64% true shooting, 56.8 effective field goal. Jokic is averaging 26-13-11 on 75% true shooting, 71.8% effective field goal percentage. Giannis is averaging 33-12-6 on 66% true shooting, 64.9 effective field goal. Luka is averaging 37-9-9 on 63% true shooting, 57% effective field goal percentage. So this is going to be a real tight MVP race. This might be, is this shaping up to be the most competitive MVP race, like, ever?
If these guys, I don't think Luka's going to average 37.
It's going to come down to earth, but I ain't going to lie. LeBron out for a little bit longer.
Yeah. I mean, it's a real chance he gets to, like, 38-8.
It's going to be, like, 34.
Not more, yeah.
He'll walk into that. With how many pick and rolls a game the Lakers run?
Yeah, he's going to average, stats. Like, 33, 34 a game.
But I'm not going to lie, my preseason pick, I think this is someone that is going to get way more buzz closer to the end of the season when their record is like
yachty. Yeah.
But my preseason pick was Shea. In the 11 games so far, they're missing Chet sometimes. They're missing Jalen Williams sometimes.
The whole time.
They're starting like second rounders and random people in this lineup.
Shout out AJ Mitchell.
And none of it matters. Yeah, AJ Mitchell's hooping. But like none of it matters. Like he's just willing them to games. He's averaging 30 plus points right now in their 11 games. He sat six entire fourth quarters.
Yep.
You know how insane that is? Like, he's just so effortlessly good at scoring now. Like, it's just broken. Like, and I think we don't consider him in like the tier of like floor raisers traditionally of like, oh, like a Luka guy or this guy.
His brain kind of goes to mush. Bro, anytime
he's objectively
show
a floor raiser though.
I ain't gonna lie, but anytime you throw help defense at him, his brain like fries.
Don't go to mush. It go to I'm not making this extra pass.
Defies all logic for like how championship winning teams are built. So we're like, I feel comfortable saying this. He's probably the worst playmaking processor that's won an MVP or been an elite player in a really long time to me. Like a really, really long time. Like watch him when a trap comes, watch him when the defense like hard commits, when they like they throw a lot of exotic coverages at him. And I ain't gonna lie, his brain just kind of goes like haywire at times. But it doesn't matter because like
he's the best shoulder
step back cast. Like it doesn't matter at all.
You just can't. He just feels inevitable sometimes when he's coming down. Like you all play 2K, it feels like the defenders are just like caught in animation. Like he's gonna pump fake. He's gonna do this. He's gonna step back, drive up and under, and you're fouling him. And he's going to the line. He's knocking down two free throws because he's a 95% free throw shooter. Like he's just
The crazy thing where he's shooting 67% at the rim in the half court.
Dude, shot 74% at the rim at 0 to 3 feet last year. Giannis shot 77%. Do you realize how crazy that is? Like,
he's the best guard finisher in the league.
Yeah, like, for sure. Debatably in all-time talks as a guard finisher.
Oh, no, he is.
Not debatable.
Not debatable. Like, yeah, like, just, he's such a nuts player.
Yeah, all of these guys are just, like,
they're insane
when you look at literally like any of their numbers. It's like, dude, how is this possible? like you look at Luka's pick and roll and isolation numbers, like, all right, bro, like, what is this? You look at Giannis's numbers, like, at the rim, it's like, what is this, bro?
Yeah.
You look at Jokic's numbers anywhere from the floor, it's like, bro, what is this?
Yeah.
Luka has ran 150 pick and rolls. He is averaging 1.173.
Yeah, like, I'm not, like, he's having one of the best pick and roll seasons ever.
It goes up when the defense commits. when you try harder at guarding him, he gets better.
That makes sense. The second ridiculous. You give a second person up and make it a 4-on-3, it's over with, bro.
Like this is like I will say I think that this is Spurs fans already. Hey, we can dead that little one in San Antonio talk. You got another rung to go before you get to this level.
Yeah, it's and that's cool. No,
it is an insult. They can get that little DPOY. You gonna have that, bro? Like you gonna average the buy?
I think there was that week where like defenses didn't know what to do with Wemby, and he was averaging like 30, 15, and 5 blocks, and everyone was like, "Oh my god, this might be the best player in the league," me included. And then I think it was Dre or someone.
Yeah, he only had a week.
He said, "Hold on." He's like, "Let's see what defenses do." Like, I don't think the league's just gonna let him get away with this. And sure enough, like gang, you're going to get doubled, Wemby. Like, if you're that good at basketball, they're going to front you. They're going to double you. You have to make these passes. You have to operate a certain way. Like, it's a learning curve every single person gets to when the league realizes, oh, you're this good. We're like, we watched it happen with Şengün.
Yeah.
But the league was like he had that his third year breakout year where he was like, oh, he's scoring on everybody, right? He's like 20 plus, 62 shooting. Next year, teams are like, yeah, we're going to make you pass. Like, we're not going to score anymore. Yeah, and Wemby's kind of going through the same thing, but he just got to,
I mean, honestly, he just got to score through him.
He got to either, like, that's what I'm saying, you got to take the SGA approach.
7-5.
Yeah, like, I ain't going to lie, bro. You shouldn't see a double.
to be frank. Yeah, bro. Like, you literally should not be able to see it. There's nothing that should be able to, like, you're not getting doubled by George Mikan and Bill Russell, dude. Like, even them, they're too short.
Yeah, I was going to say, Bill Russell, like, 6'8".
Like, bro, it's not like, that's not Wilton Yao doubling you, bro. Like, it's me and us, basically.
Like, relative,
it's like two, like, 5'7 dudes.
Yeah, I feel like that's the thing. Like, he tries to do, like, the textbook thing of, like, what you should do, but, like, you're not a textbook individual, gang. Like, me, like, Amen Thompson and, like, Josh Okogie double teaming you should not stop you from shooting the ball. It shouldn't.
Bro, I saw him get pushed out because the Suns were the first team to really implement the what it really is. And Jordan Ott's a psychopath, by the way. And the Phoenix Suns are actually
here you go, Glaze.
Somewhat good team.
He's a good coach.
I love Jordan Ott. Every time I hear him talk basketball, I'm five game winning streak. This guy is like.
Is it
wait, are they actually on a 6-game winning
streak? Are they not on like a 6-game winning streak right now?
Four, I want to say. Four game winning streak.
No, I think they've won like 6 of the last 7. Just something like that.
They might be. They're above. They're 6.
We won 6 of the last.
They started 1-4 and they're 6-5.
They're on a 3-game winning streak.
Yeah. But they're 6-5 now. So, but like,
shout out to the Suns.
What they did and what I think a lot of teams are starting to copy is, me and Will have talked about this before. You don't put bigs on Wemby, you put rangy wings, right?
So we saw what he did opening night to Anthony Davis and was it Derek Lively?
Yeah. Like, he's too fast for the bigs off the dribble. What you're supposed to do, and what I think Jordan Ott did really well and other teams have copied it, you throw that first small guy on him, and what they do is the guy that's in immediate help goes to peel for the double team. The guy that's in next help just rotates over. And it's just like, I don't want to call it a triangle defense, but it's just a constant rotation. I double rotate. And if you're Wemby and he didn't really know how to handle it, every single catch, you're just getting pushed further and further out. You go from being at 13 feet, you're at the 3-point line now. Do something.
Then he realized how to pass at the double team is over, though.
No, yeah. It wasn't.
I think that's a
score out of it. Like, I ain't going to lie.
It's going to be a big curve. Once he figures out that he's 7-5 and he can score out of it.
We are Rockets fans. Telling somebody just learn how to pass, I'm sorry, gang.
I'm gonna trust in a transcendent talent to be able to figure that aspect of his
game.
Yeah. He can be a transcendent talent. I don't mean he's transcendent in everything. There is a fault in his armor. And that fault is his passing ability, genuinely. Like, he's just not a fluent passer.
I think he's gonna get there.
He'll get better at it because he's gonna get older, he'll get stronger, he'll just see more coverages, but like, I think it'll be, I think it's actually a good comparison. Him and Kevin Durant are so similar to me in the way that they approach basketball and play basketball, because a lot of times the guys that guard them, they do tower over. I think a bad habit both of them have is, instead of standing tall, they backtrack. I think Wemby, if he avoids that habit that I think Kevin Durant picked up of like escape dribble, it invites the double team. Now somebody else has to flash for me, which you want someone to flash anyway, but if he just remembers, Kevin Durant 7 feet. Gang, I'm 7'7" apparently now. Bro, just stand up.
No,
if I stand up with my arms, just hold the ball, you're not getting to this ball. And if you somehow do, you probably fouled me. Like, just remember that. Don't remember that. For the sake of my team, don't remember that you're 7'5".
Don't do that.
Be bad at basketball, bro.
Yeah. I don't know how MVP talks turned into a little Wemby criticism segment.
Will said it. We yeah.
But yeah. Who's your MVP, Will?
I refuse to pick. I
oh, this kid.
I refuse.
What is this?
Get this lane.
I'm an enjoyer of basketball. I like the sport.
Because I don't know where to go. I think SGA, I guess, by like traditional standards, best player on best team, that typically gets MVP. So there's that. But what Jokic is doing in Denver is just absurd. I can't even, like, you can't put it into words. I was watching them play the Kings yesterday, and in crunch time, I'm not going to say that they needed him to elevate his game, because they were probably going to win that game regardless, but it was the Kings trying to make a comeback, and Jokic checked in like the 7, I think, 8-minute mark somewhere in that ballpark, and without even trying, just put the Kings away. It didn't look like he was even. And they asked him after the game. They're like, "Is it difficult for you?" And he's trying to like guess, like, "Yeah, it is." I'm like, "Bro, we watched the game, dude. That wasn't hard for you to do." And then with Giannis, it's like, I will give the Bucks roster construction some credit, because that roster, it's bad in the sense of they don't have an engine or like someone who makes it go outside of Giannis. But their role players are really good. They
fit with Giannis.
Yeah, they've constructed a roster that complements Giannis Antetokounmpo very well. So I will throw that caveat into the mix. That being said, if you were to remove Giannis from this roster, they are, in my opinion, one of the worst rosters in basketball.
I mean, yeah, they don't work without Giannis.
You don't have
to
do the opinion on that one game. They're -9 with him off, +9 with him on.
So, you know, you go from a team that's would be in the Darren Peterson sweepstakes to, we had an argument on this podcast where they were talking about them potentially even winning a playoff series, and that's only because of one man.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I can't pick. Because, like, I just gave you three different cases. I think
Luka numbers crazy, too.
I think I'm including Luka.
I think Luka has the weakest argument of all of them. So
them Luka numbers. Because
they were pretty good.
Yeah, he hasn't played. He hasn't
even
played
without
Luka.
And Reeves was really good in those. So I think he is the weakest case of all three, of all four guys. But that three-way tie between SGA, Jokic, and Giannis, for me, I don't know how to split the difference.
We do this to Luka every single year, man. And
bro,
he's
the first person to have MVP voter fatigue without winning
without
the
winning
award.
MVP.
I mean, ain't gonna lie. Once again, he has not played. I mean, he's played games, but he missed a couple of games.
Yeah, he missed more games than
and then
else.
The Lakers were, and I hate to do like the with or without thing, the Lakers are still winning games and despite him being there. And like, if I were to remove SJ from the Thunder, that don't happen.
The Bucks,
remove SJ from the Thunder, they ain't winning the game.
I will say that's the fair. Bucks beat the Warriors without Giannis.
The Warriors,
they smooth dead. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. Shout out Ryan.
I mean, I'm saying everybody gets lucky every now and then. It's gonna be a Rockets versus Sixers game in like February. Where
I mean, but the reason why the Lakers won is because they got Austin Reeves.
I mean, that's my point, bro. I don't want to dock him necessarily points for being on having a good co-star, but at the same time, it's like, if I were to take Giannis off of the Bucks, gang, they are in them Darren Peterson sweepstakes. If I were to remove Jokic from the Nuggets, I'm not gonna say they're not in Darren Peterson talks, but they ain't
that plan.
They ain't where they at right now. So like, for me, it's like, I can't. I'm not gonna say I'm docking Luka points for that, but I am giving credit to Jokic.
I can't dock points for the guy that's shooting 90% at the rim in the half court.
90% at the rim is
shooting 90% at the rim.
How many attempts is that?
25. So, but
that's still
shooting
90%
at the rim.
I ain't gonna lie. How many? He's played what? 8 games?
Yeah.
7 games?
7 games.
I'm surprised it's even been that many. I feel like he missed more than that, but
no, he only missed like 3.
I don't know why I feel like he missed more, but
because the Austin Reed and all three of the games went crazy.
Luka FC, man, just know. Just know who with y'all, man. Just know who with y'all.
Yeah.
You always got a home in Houston.
Yeah, since Will doesn't want to answer, who are y'all's MVPs? So
my preseason, yeah, I mean, yours is Luka, obviously. My preseason prediction is Shea. I'm sticking with Shea.
I don't know how to split the difference. I'll say, who
Jokic?
I think right now I would go in order. I say Jokic, SGA, Giannis, Luka, I think is how I would order it.
I think what's gonna happen, I think, is these Jokic Giannis talks gonna be big early. Is when we get to like February, and the Thunder have like a gap on wins from the other two guys. I think it's gonna become more common.
So OKC touches 70, it's Shea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they're
probably going.
I said preseason. I think they're.
But that's the thing. But they are on pace for 70. But are we sure he's having a better individual season than what Giannis and I agree. I agree. But that's why I said I don't know how to pick, because SJ, from like the historical precedence of what an MVP usually goes to, it will go to SJ in this context. Yeah. But then I look at what Giannis is doing and what Jokic is doing, and I'm like, gang.
To be fair to SJ, he's still also putting up
I
think his argument will also be, you got to remember, like, the games that are going on now, and we do get to that time when, if they are healthy, if those guys get back together, you got to remember the games he was winning without Shea.
Yeah, when he's missing guys,
They were on a 70-win pace without either of those guys.
That's the part that I think gives him the stronger argument right now over the Jokic guy, is because, like, the OKC lineup has not been, like, this dominant roster right now. They're dealing with a lot of injuries. They're shuffling guys in and out. The one constant, Shea, and it's not even like they're just, like, scraping by wins. They're dominating.
Yeah, like, and then when they do get clutch time games, they're winning them all.
Like, they just beat the Warriors last night by like 30.
Yeah.
Like, he just takes over in
you
the
can
clutch.
Just write down, like, 33, 6, and 6 a night.
Yeah, yep. Which is, like, I mean, funny enough, I haven't seen
yeah, I didn't even know like, that, but yeah. You can write
those
that
are
down.
His averages.
You literally write that down tonight, man.
If I had to pick, I'm going to pick Giannis. This because if
you think
if I just had to pick, I'm gonna.
Yeah, I will say crazy. It's hilarious to me. This is only an argument because of Russell Westbrook. Him winning MVP completely changed what the idea of winning MVP was. To Will's point earlier, it's like traditionally speaking,
it was
best player, best player.
Nah, Russell Westbrook should not have won that MVP, man.
Yeah, I will. So I guess
we can talk about that one day. But
to wrap it up, to present a scenario because we're talking about like wins and losses and how the Thunder might dwarf these other teams. I don't know if they dwarf Denver. Because I'm not going to lie, Denver is winning games like this, and they're, like, winning in dominant fashion. And this looks like the best team that Jokic has had. Let's say they're putting up the exact same numbers they're putting up right now. Let's say the Thunder wins 67 games, and the Nuggets win, like, 62. What do you do?
Then it'll go to Jokic. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be that close.
Okay, what if it's 68 and 61?
I don't think they'll be within 10 games.
Nah, I think I would
put money on it.
I think the Nuggets might.
I think the Thunder are going to have a 10-game gap on the whoever the two seed is.
I think the Nuggets might be a 60-win team. I'm not going to lie, dude. They're winning games.
I'm not going. I'm not lying.
This like it's not fair to SGA, but I don't think that they can match or have less wins than they did last year.
Yeah, they won 68 games.
Like they won 68 last year.
Yeah, but again, I think they won 68. They did 168 without Chet for basically.
That's what I'm saying. Like I think if they win less than 68, and it's not fair to him whatsoever. But if they win less than 68, I think it's going to be the, well, the Nuggets won 60.
Yeah, because on the other end, the Nuggets have never won 60 games.
No. If the Nuggets so win the most 60, games. Jokic will win it. I agree with
which
you.
They're 8-2 again. They might.
I don't think they'll win 60. And I think
why? So can I? Why don't you think they will? You think they'll start resting guys like at the end of the season?
I think it's going to be, because the point is, the reason you win that many games is you're chasing something. I think it's going to come down to we're like mid-March, and it's like, yo, we're not catching OKC. So why should I run Jokic on this back-to-back? Why should I run? It's going to be resting. And like the same reason, we won 52 games last year.
Yeah, we
right?
sat everyone.
We could have won like 55.
Yeah, we
could
have
right?
the 2 seed.
But it's like you clinch and it's like there's no point, right? So I think it's going to be a similar situation of that where like Denver doesn't, they're not going to be close enough to OKC, I think, to push
Do you think they're gapping whoever you think is three? Because my thing is,
I think it's going to be how it was last
year. Our record, like right now, we're 6-3. But if you look at our net rating, us and Denver are like neck and neck.
Yeah.
There's a very real chance that in April, we're like within a game or two of each other. And like every game matters in terms of seeding. They might not be able to catch OKC, but in a 2-3 matchup, having home court still does matter.
No, I agree. So, but that's why I think the Thunder are going to be around where they were last year, 60-70. And I think us, Denver, Spurs, are going to be in like that 50-ish range.
Gang said Spurs. Come on, man.
I like the Spurs.
Come on, man.
But I think it's going to be, they'll be in like the 50.
I'm not going to, I think there might just be 360-win teams in the West, to be honest with you.
Just seems too rich.
That's tough, yeah. That's,
I mean, when
that seems too rich.
I mean, there's going to be like four historically bad teams. And usually when there's that many historically bad teams on the other end, there has to be some historically good teams. And then you look at the Eastern Conference.
There's no one there.
The whole conference is just ass, gang. Like, I'm not going to lie to you, bro.
I have a, I guess this is a hot take, per se, but I'm looking at the standings right now. I think the current top nine will be the, not in order, but these will be the nine teams that are at least in the play-in. I think the only spot that's quote-unquote left up for grabs is that 10 seed.
Yeah,
because I mean the Clippers are just way worse than I thought they'd be. Sacramento doesn't.
Nah, they're gonna do some. They're gonna do
Memphis
some.
Memphis is
stuff.
Garbage. Utah's trying to lose, and I think they'll eventually pull the plug and start losing. Dallas is going to be too
about
hurt.
Dallas, yeah,
the Pelicans stink. Like we talked about, like the Blazers. I think the Warriors will find some type of consistency with their rotation.
Yeah,
like this probably is.
I think the Clippers are going to snag that last spot.
You think the Clippers make the play?
I mean, yeah, they've
or
Ty Lue, they always like find their way into the play-in / playoffs. I think
like if I asked you right now, like who are you more confident in, Phoenix and Portland or Memphis?
Oh, absolutely, Phoenix and Portland.
Yeah,
but I think just the rest of those teams in the West, it's like why? Like the Jazz have no reason to be good at all.
Yeah, they don't.
They
I watched Ja shoot 3 for 18, man.
Oh, that was
amazing. That's not what the game of basketball is about. Yeah, that's not the 45
yeah, I'm not,
foot. No,
I'm not going to lie. I'm looking at these Eastern Conference standings and like, yeah, dude, I kind of come away from that thinking like, I think the Thunder, Nuggets, and Rockets are just going to win 60 games, dude. Like, gang, it's already like 5-4 lost teams in that conference and we're 12 games into the season. I mean, yeah,
that would be interesting if it
we
happens.
The three losses we have all been clutch time losses, and then when we win, we're beating the brakes off of people, which normally that means like over the course of
the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, we have two clutch time wins, four blowouts, and then three clutch time losses. Usually, that kind of means if you're like beating the brakes off of people when you win, and then like barely losing, that you're gonna win a lot of games. And that's also true for the Nuggets. And I'm pretty sure the one Thunder loss is also was it a clutch time loss? I think it was, right?
Yeah, it was one double OT. One. Oh, you're talking about us?
No, the Thunder loss, like the one loss they have.
Oh, Portland.
It was Portland. Yeah,
yeah,
it,
they
it
lost
almost
a close
OT,
game. Yeah.
OT, yeah,
and the Nuggets also lost.
Bro, they got the foul on
two close games. Yeah. The Nuggets, funny enough, also lost a clutch game to Portland, and I can't remember who the other loss was to, yeah. But it's two losses that are competitive. Right?
I just still think the Thunder are going to be.
Yeah, but I think we're going to have. I think how it's going to go is the three best records in the league are going to be those three teams. I think that's how it's going to go.
Has it happened before? Three best records in the league in one conference?
Yeah.
I know it's happened for two, but I don't know if it's ever happened. Well, yeah. It probably happened in two because the 2000 East was also ass. So.
All right.
All right, yeah. We...
You want to wrap it up?
I think, yeah, we can go ahead and wrap it up there. This has been another episode of the Right Read Podcast. We thank you guys once again for listening. Be sure to like, share, comment, subscribe. All of our links will be down below in the description. Make sure to follow us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. This podcast is probably up. We appreciate all the support. We've been seeing all the love. Y'all been going crazy on YouTube Shorts especially. But yeah, this has been another episode of the Right Read Podcast, and we will catch y'all next time.